Glory. Thank you, Jesus. If I'm not careful, I'm going to start worshiping again. So.
Yes, you will.
Come on, can we do that for a sec? Yeah. Lord, we love you. We bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you that we're found in you. I thank you for your keeping power. Yes. Lord, I thank you that some of us, we've known you a while, and we've maybe tried to give up on you a bunch of times, but you've never give up on us. And I thank you, if we're here today, it's not our credit, it's your power. We thank you, Lord, that he who began a good work in us will accomplish it, will bring it to the day of the Lord, will bring it to Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, you God is at work in us, both to will and do of his good pleasure. And Lord, I just bless you for these guys. We bless just our brief time together this evening. Father, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open the eyes of our understanding. Lead us into truth. Holy Spirit, come and just show us great and mighty things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Hey, if you have a Bible, in a few moments I want to go to Luke chapter 9. Promise we won't be long tonight. Who needs coffee? I see a vision of Starbucks, but hey, we've been talking for a few weeks about life in the Spirit, and we just want to spend some time, probably going to do this for a few more weeks, speaking about what does it mean to live full of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? What does it mean for a person to be Spirit-filled? What does it mean for a church to be Spirit-filled? I don't think I know all the answers, but I love sometimes the questions. One thing I know is God loves hungry people. Come on, God loves hungry people. It's like a spiritual law. Whenever we think, God, I've got you all figured out. I've got it all. Look at me. God says, like, we that's the day we begin to lose the plot. And whenever we're coming to the Lord saying, Lord, I want you, I desire you, Lord, I am more of you. I want to keep walking with you, keep advancing with you. That's the day. No matter how wrong we are at other points in our life, that hunger will, we're on the right track. Yeah? I'll tell you another thing I've learned today. I actually saw a good illustration of this morning. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Agreed? And the way you get faith for anything is hearing God's word about it. I had an interesting experience this morning, and there's a guy in the church in Sturbridge there who I've known for years and years and years and years and years. And it's funny, just I'd kind of finished a service this morning, and I was about to go and have a cup of coffee in a cafe downstairs. And this guy grabbed me, and he said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized, and I want to speak in tongues. And he actually made the comment to me. He said, I feel I've got faith for it for the first time in my life. I was like, great. So I grabbed a couple of my friends, and I just said to this guy, we're going to pray, and you're going to speak in tongues right now. Do you agree? And he's like, yeah. And it was really, it was just so dramatic. We kind of prayed with him for about 30 seconds, and then I said, I want you to breathe in deeply, right, and speak in tongues. Usually when you do that, people sometimes stop mumbling in tongues. This guy, it was like a steam train. He was just, it was great. And after a few minutes, like a couple of us praying, we said, let's sing in tongues. And we couldn't shut him up. And it was just like, he went on and on and on. And he had like tears weeping down with his arm. And I went down and had my cup of coffee in the end. And then I came back up. He was still there speaking in tongues. And but come on, faith came by hearing, hearing on the word of God. And the way we get God to do things, I don't like that language, but frankly, that's often where we're at, is not by begging, pleading, persuading, or screaming at the devil. That's a complete waste of time. It's actually, faith comes from hearing God's word. And what I want to do really briefly tonight, I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Can we just talk about power? Because we need the power of God in our lives. Agreed? And I think whenever we talk about Holy Spirit, there are rightly different words we use. And God's not a God of semantics. It's not like, oh, you said the wrong word, I'm not going to deal with you. At times we can confuse one word for another, and that's okay. But there are different things. There's a difference between the presence of God and the anointing of God. Yeah? The anointing is God coming upon you to do something. You're anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. Why? To preach the gospel to the poor, to open the prison doors, to open the eyes of the blind, to bind up the broken. You're anointed to do. But there's something greater than the anointing. Do you know, when we're in heaven, or the New Jerusalem, or whatever, in eternity future, nobody's going to be anointed. We're going to be in the glory, the presence of God. There won't be any prison doors to open. There won't be any blind eyes to open. There won't be any brokenhearted people. We won't need the anointing. The anointing is to do a job. And I think God loves his anointing on his people, but don't ever, it's sad when all we know is the anointing. I think some people know the anointing, but not the presence of the Lord. The anointing can often refer to us like, I am anointed, this is my anointing. The presence is always, it's his presence. It's about intimate, it's about relationship with him, amen? So there's the anointing, there's the presence of God, there's the gifting of God within us. But what I want to talk about really briefly tonight, you guys, is the power of the Spirit. I think we need more power. How many of you would like more power? I think God wants his power in our lives. I think he wants his power demonstrated. I think he wants his power to accomplish things in the world around us. You know, I was sharing this morning about Smith Wigglesworth, and I won't do the whole thing, but if you ever want to read some great biographies, and there's a bunch of them, read a biography of Smith Wigglesworth. He was a truly amazing man. He was a British plumber, like a really, like a blue-collar, hard-working guy, you know, back 130, 40 years ago now, I guess, you know, was a illiterate guy, couldn't read and write, a plumber in Bradford, a city in the north of England, and really loved God. He was a great soul winner. He used to be part of the Salvation Army, and his wife, Polly, she was the preacher in the household. He was like the back, I don't know, the guy in the background, the guy who'd help set things up, set up the meeting, and she could preach, but he couldn't speak in public. Every time he tried to speak in public, he'd mumble over his words, and he'd get nervous, and he'd break down, and he couldn't do it. He'd kind of think, my job is to set things up and do the work, and my wife's job is to preach. And then one day, in the early 1900s, he heard about an Episcopalian church in Sunderland in the UK, where the local vicar, the local priest, had been on a journey to the far side of America, to Los Angeles, California, to visit a little revival in a feed store called Azusa Street. And this Episcopalian got baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. And then he came all the way back, and he gave his testimony in his Episcopalian church in England. And for the first time in England, the Holy Spirit broke out. And nearly everybody in the church was filled with the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues. And Smith Wigglesworth lived about 100 miles away, and he kept hearing rumors of this church. And in the end, he couldn't stand it. He closed his business for a week and said, I'm going to go and investigate if this is really God. And he went to this guy, his name was Alexander Boddy, the priest there, and went and sat there and listened. And after about 3 days, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He sent a telegram to his wife and children saying, I've received the Holy Spirit. And they telegrammed back like, you already had him. We don't believe in this stuff. And he came back and he told them, I've had this life-changing experience. And his wife said, right, we'll put you to the test. You're going to preach tonight. Uh-oh. And everybody laughed because this guy couldn't preach. And, you know, she said after the worship, she gave him the microphone, if they had a microphone whenever in those days. And he said, suddenly it's like the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and this timid, stuttering, nervous plumber suddenly became like this lion and strode up and down the stage preaching Jesus Christ and preaching the power. Hallelujah. Come on, we need God's power on our lives. And I want to share with you something. If you disagree with me, come and give me a hug at the end. But I'm really convinced of what I'm going to share with you in the next few minutes. I think there's a reason why many of us don't see the power of God much in our lives. And it took me a while to come to this conclusion, and I think I'm right. But if I'm wrong, come and give me a hug. But I think it's actually this. I believe when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we have God's power in us. Amen? It's like God's power is resident within us. But I don't think we control God's power. I think God has given us the control, if you will. I don't like the word control, but we have authority and power. And I think God has given us, the church, the ability to use his authority. And I look at it this way, and I'm really sure this is true. When we use the authority God has given us, he will release the power that's resident within us to accomplish the thing we need doing. And so often we're trying to experience power by feeling power. Or we're kind of asking God, would you go and do this? Would you go and do that? And I think we need to realize we've got to learn this cooperation between authority and power. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 says, he gave his disciples authority and power over all demons and over sickness and disease to cure diseases. And then he sent them out. And then in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe everything I've taught you. We have the same commission as those apostles. We've got that same authority and power. But I really want you to catch this. The reason why I think we don't see the power is because we're trying to, it's like we're wondering, where's my power? We don't control the faucet, the flow, the switch of the power. We control the authority. Holy Spirit controls the power. And when we will use our authority, he will back up our authority. There's a difference between power and authority, isn't there? I once heard about a government surveyor who came to survey a farmer's field. And he arrived, and this farmer, I don't know about farmers in America, but in England, farmers, they're a strange bunch. Probably Aussie farmers are the same. They, you know, they don't like the government telling them what to do. Do I get an amen? And this government surveyor turned up and said, I'm here to survey your field. And the farmer said, you're not coming in my field. And the surveyor said, I'm really sorry, but I have the authority to survey this field. And he pulled out a paper and showed him his authority. Well, the farmer, what could he do? He went round to the other side of the field and he opened the other gate and he let his prize bull come in. And the bull decided he'd like to meet the surveyor at about 30 miles an hour and began charging him. Yeah? And very helpfully, as the bull charged the surveyor, the farmer shouted out, show him your authority. Now, the surveyor had the authority. The bull had the power. And I think God is resonant within us with all the power we'll ever need. But do you know, Holy Spirit doesn't take the authority of the name of Jesus. That's been given to us. We, if you will, were the ones who have the authority of the name of Jesus. I'll never forget being a kid. I'm sure many of you have that same experience, but there's a little teacher in my high school that always... She always comes back to me. She seemed in my memory to be about this tall. Little teacher, like in about her mid-60s, probably ready to retire. But this little lady had authority in that classroom. And I don't know about American kids in a classroom, but kids can be rowdy at times, can't they? They're like tribal. And if, you know, I remember, you know, at times seeing kids just ignore a teacher and the teacher's, oh, stop, you gotta stop behaving. The kids just do it. I remember this little teacher. She could lift her finger and the whole class would shut up. She was in charge and she knew she was in. She wasn't trying to be in charge. She was in charge and she knew she was in charge. And in a way, she had the authority. All of the school, or if you will, the police force or the government of the UK, whatever, had the power to enforce what she said. And I want you to catch that. I actually believe it's funny, Karen spoke a bit about where I'm going to go tonight. A few of the prophetic words, I've had that thing about authority tonight. God's given us authority. And I just want you to see that there's this interplay between authority and power that is glorious. But we need to realize our part. We don't need to try and do his part. And we don't need to ask him to do our part. So really quickly, how do we exercise authority? Let me give you three or four keys. Number one, you've got authority. Whenever you try to get authority, you're showing you don't have authority. You have God's authority. And at times we need to go over some of those verses, you know, especially about the name of Jesus, and just let them sink in. Let them really, you know, kind of meditate upon them. Philippians 2, God has exalted Jesus and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Anything you can mention in this room, any sickness, any disease, anything touching your children, any attack upon your life is a name. It's a name that is named, and it's under the name of Jesus. And we don't get authority by simply shouting, you know, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus. It's not a magic word like abracadabra. Al Shazam, name of Jesus. It's when we really get that truth anchored in our hearts that every name, if Jesus walked into the room, cancer will bow the knee to him. Come on, if Jesus walked into the room, you know, fear will bow the knee to him. Jesus walks into the room, any disorder, any addiction, everything will bow the knee to the name of Jesus. And Jesus has given us literally his name, his authority, his power of attorney. You know, if you imagine you're going on a far journey and you gave somebody your checkbook, you went with them to the bank and you gave them power to sign your checks, to sign papers, legal papers in your name. That's what it means. We've been given the power of the name of Jesus. So number one, we've really got to take that truth and let it sink in. If you've never read it, there's a great book by E.W. Kenyon, The Wonderful Name of Jesus. One of the best I've ever heard about that. Just so much, you know, basic truth, but revelation about the power of the name of Jesus. So we've got to get that truth. It's got to sink within us. Here's where I really want to go tonight. I think most of us miss it on this authority power thing. Here's where we miss it. We miss it by trying to have authority and giving up too quickly. Let's say that. We really, can I say this? Every time you take a stand and you say no to Satan, you're not having my body, my finance, my marriage, my kids, my nation, whatever. You take that authority in the name of it. Satan won't go, oh gosh, okay. You've taken a stand. I'll go and annoy somebody else. The Bible says, whom resists steadfastly in the faith, resists Satan, the devil, and he will flee. And there's a little principle. It's so simple, and yet it's so easy to miss, that Satan will come. Whenever you take a stand on the authority that God has given you, Satan will come, and he'll say, that doesn't work. I'm not giving up. I don't believe that. I won't take any notice of that. And he will test you on it again and again and again and again and again. He did with Jesus. The Bible says in Luke 4, Jesus went into the desert full of the Spirit. Say full. A few verses later, it says he came out of the desert in the power of the Spirit. How do you get from fullness to power? I believe there are about 300 million Pentecostal, charismatic, third wave people who speak in tongues and prophesy on planet Earth right now. I think there's relatively few who walk in the power of the Spirit. And it's not that we need God to give more power. God, send more power, more love, more power. We don't need more power. What we need to do is what Jesus did when Satan attacked him. Jesus resisted it. It is written. And Satan didn't say, oh, okay, I'll go away. He came back again. And Jesus, it is written, he wouldn't back down. And I think at times, I really believe this, at times I believe Christians are that near breakthrough. But we get discouraged. Karen was talking about it earlier. We go through those battles. We fight the fight of faith. And at times we get impressed with the wind and the waves, the different things looking. And at times we cast away our confidence and we say, I guess this didn't work. And I think there's something about consistently not trying to. You don't take authority by constantly, I bind you and I command you to go, I break you in the name of Jesus. That's not authority. No. Authority is when we said, I prayed, I've taken my stand, and you are not having my kids. Come on, you're not having my kids. You're not having my body. You are not doing this. I've already got those results. But we're not saying, I've already got the results, so I'll just sit down and relax at my faith. And when God's ready, he'll do it. We're saying, no, by faith, we've received those results. We prayed, we've used the name of Jesus. And we're standing. And there's a fight and a resisting Satan, if you will, in that area saying, no, you won't have this. No, you are bound in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you won't trespass on my territory, on this part of my life. And we don't have to produce the power. We don't have to fake it. We don't have to drum up some power in our natural. Our job is to stand on that authority in the name of Jesus and say, Satan, you are bound in this area of my life and I'm not giving in. And I'm not giving in. And he comes back and laughs at you and you're not giving in. And Lord, I thank you. I prayed, I've received that. I am standing in that authority and I'm not giving in. And I'm not giving in. And I'm not giving in. And if you won't back down, he will. Let me say that again. If you won't back down, Satan will. Satan has a flea button. Resist him and he turns into a flea. Don't talk about fleas. Come on, and I just encourage you, God's power, in my experience, and I think this is both biblical, but it really, that's, I was just thinking about this today, that's been my experience again and again. It's like we want to take ground in an area of our life, and we're tested on that, and if we won't give in, Satan will. But when we get that breakthrough, when the power is released, you know, it's not, we can't by our might, you know, remove demonic influence from people or heal broken bones. It's the power of God that does those things. Right. Come on, it's the power of God that accomplishes those things. Right. Our job, we shouldn't try. Our job is to use the name of Jesus and to believe that God's power will accomplish the thing that the authority has dictated, if you will. But when we'll use that authority, and we'll stand and not give in, and eventually Satan backs down and runs away. It's like we step into a new place where we've proven that authority in this area, and suddenly I think it becomes quite easy to keep ground in that area. And usually if Satan realizes you will not back down in this area, he doesn't even try again. Now he may find another area of your life to attack you on, but he realizes it and you've taken ground. Come on, and I encourage you, God wants you to take ground in your life this year. God wants us to be a people who, hallelujah, we will take ground in the kingdom of God. We will believe for God's power to be manifest in our life. And I want to encourage you, if you take inventory, you know, have a look over your life. If there are areas you feel like, I'm just completely failing here. I've tried to do this. I've tried to have authority in this area of my life. I've tried it a million times and I've failed. Well, I encourage you, you know, take heart. Don't beat yourself up. Let God love on you. Let God brush away the disappointment. But this year, take that stand of faith and don't back down. I tell you, it's my testimony. It may not be yours. People get offended when I say this, but you can't steal my testimony from me. Seriously, I don't see Christians who take that stand of faith and authority and keep resisting Satan and resisting Satan who don't get the breakthrough. I don't see all these Christians who just keep doing that. Oh, it doesn't work. What I see is the people who try, and I'm not demeaning anybody because I know what it's like and we've all got discouraged, but who'll try for a while and then throw in the towel and say it doesn't work. And we've just, if we will be consistent, if we won't back down, Satan will. So I want to encourage you, you've got all the power you need resident within you. I think sometimes what we've done in the charismatic world is we confuse power for a feeling of power. I love feeling God's power. Have you ever felt God's power? I was preaching in Belgium years ago. I'm going to go to Belgium in April. And I remember once preaching in a church in Belgium on a Monday evening in a place called Tournai Every time I'd go there, they have a Monday evening service, which most churches don't do. So I'd always go and preach there. And one Monday evening, suddenly, it's like the anointing rained down on me. It's the most glorious experience I've ever had. It's like God just rained glory and power and faith. And I was like clothed with God's faith. I mean, I literally shouted, every single person who needs healing, get out here now. I guarantee everybody will be instantly healed. And everybody was. I got emptied of doubt. I had no doubt what I couldn't doubt. It was glorious for about half an hour. And then I came back to my faith.
Glory to God.
Come on, here's my point. I love that feeling of the anointing. But at times we confuse the power for a feeling of power, for a sensation of power. And I want to say God's power is in you all the time, whether you feel it or not. Yeah. I have an old recording somewhere. I think it's probably in France if Leah hasn't thrown it away. It's actually like an old gramophone record, if that's what they call them, a vinyl record of T.L. Osborne, the evangelist, and he's preaching, I think it was in Puerto Rico in 1950 or 1952, and he's preaching in a bullring, like a, you know, this sort of like circular thing. There's about 15, 20,000 people there, and he's preaching on Christ the healer. And it's so weird, because there's this message, about three messages anyway, on this vinyl thing. But before then, somebody actually recorded him praying before he went out to preach. And you hear this guy, and he's a really humble guy in a way. And he's like, God, you will show up, won't you? And he's literally saying, like, God, I'm looking at my hand. I don't feel any power in my hands tonight. God, there's just, you know, ambulances and stretchers and 100 wheelchairs. And he's like, God, you really will show up, won't you? Because I don't feel anything right now. And in a way, what T.L. Osborne says is, I didn't need to feel power. I needed to go and preach the word. And that God would come and confirm his word. He wouldn't give me. At times, I think when we're younger Christians, sometimes God will let us feel all these amazing, you know, power flowing through our hands. I love that. There's nothing wrong with that. But God wants you to believe you've got his power in you all the time. Jesus sent those disciples out and he gave them power and authority over every demonic power, power and authority to cure sickness and disease. We've got that same power in the church. And you know what? We won't feel it. We won't feel it, and it won't flow until we go and find somebody who needs it and put our hands appropriately on them and pray in the name of Jesus. And at that point, we make a demand on that resource of heaven that God has put within us. Come on, and I just want to encourage you tonight, the church doesn't need to pray for more power. Come on, let me finish with this, but in Acts 1, Jesus says to the disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Acts 2, they get filled with power from on high. Acts 3, they're on the way into the temple and they see a man who's never walked. And they say, hey, we don't have any change. Silver and gold, we have not. But what we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The man walking, leaping. Somebody once said he was asking for arms and they gave him legs. It's terrible, I know. Come on, everybody's happy except the Pharisees. And they hold them. That's terrible, isn't it? I apologize. They hold Peter and John in front of the Sanhedrin and they threaten them. They say, don't preach anymore in this name. If you ever want to read a really great book, that guy T.L. Osborne once wrote a book called The Three Keys to the Book of Acts. The Word, the Name, and the Holy Spirit. And it's funny how we blank over, we see expression. They said, don't preach in this name. You know, there's something about the name of Jesus that's powerful. What did disciples do when they get threatened? Here's where I want to go. They had a prayer meeting. I think it's at the end of Acts 4. And it's interesting. They didn't pray, God, fill us with the Holy Spirit again. God, give us more power. They prayed a great prayer. They say, Lord, grant unto your servants boldness that we will get outside and proclaim your word. And the apostle said, Lord, if you'll give us the boldness to go and preach your word, we know that you will extend your hand and perform mighty signs and wonders and confirm the name of Jesus. in public. In a way, they knew what they were lacking. And it's the same thing for the church today. We don't lack power. We lack boldness. We don't need God to give us more power. We need the boldness to get out there where the power can flow. We need to get over ourselves. We need to have a go. We need to be okay failing. I want to try to fail every day for Jesus. I'd rather have a go and fail than not do anything. And every time even we fail, we take ground and we move forward a little bit. So come on, let me wrap this up tonight. But I've got good news for you. You've got power in you. You got all the power you need. Oh, if only I had more. No, you've got all the power you need. I think it's Micah 8 verse 3 that says, truly, I am filled with power by the Spirit of the Lord. That's a good verse to say every day. Truly, I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. God's power is in me. God's power is in you. But we'll never experience it until we put ourselves in like a demand on that power. Until we say, Lord, I can't do what you... I put ourselves in a position where we're required to do what we can't do. And then the Spirit of God will do it in us. God at work in us, both to will and to do. Come on, let's pray together as we close. Lord, I just thank you for power in every person here. I thank you for the anointing that's in us and the anointing that comes upon us when we arise and do, when we arise and speak, when we take that step of faith, when we lay our hands on somebody. And Father, I want to pray that prayer of Peter and John today. Grant unto us, your servants, boldness. Would you make us bold this week? Lord, would you destroy the fear of man this week? Would we live in such a place of the awesome, the awe of God, the wonder of God, the fear of God in a biblical sense, that the fear of man is broken? And Lord, I pray that your power will be demonstrated through our lives. And Lord, forgive us when we've asked for more power. Holy Spirit, you control the power, we control the authority. And I pray that we will use your authority with wisdom, boldness, and persistence. Lord, we thank you that you forgive us. We've all backed down. We've all given up. We've all thrown in the towel at times. But I thank you, we're back on our feet. And we're not going to, like David's mighty men, we're not going to let Satan steal our lentil field or our little plot of ground. The inheritance you've given us, we're not going to let the enemy steal that away. And Lord, give us that spirit that says, I'm going to have my inheritance. Satan is not stealing my inheritance from me in Jesus' name. And we just speak your life and your blessing over everybody gathered here as we walk in the Spirit, in the fullness of the Spirit this week, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Glory. Thank you. Hey, if anybody would like any prayer, we're going to hang out here at the front and really happy to pray for anybody who'd like any ministry. And again, we're going to be in Starbucks. Come and join us for a cup of coffee or tea or whatever in Starbucks if you can. You'd be very welcome to do that and have some fellowship. Bless you guys.